And our last speaker today is Monty Shaw. Monty asked me to purposely put him last on the agenda, and so we'll let him decide how that fits in here. So we've accommodated his wish, and as a short introduction, Monty joined the Iowa Renewable Fuels Association as executive director in 2005. He is responsible for the management, membership, regulatory, and legislative agenda of the trade association. Prior to joining IRFA, Monty worked for the Renewable Fuels Association in Washington, D.C. as director of communications for 6 years. Monty began his career working for the campaigns and official offices of numerous political candidates and elected officials, including Steve Forbes, Elizabeth Dole, Senator Chuck Grassley, Senator Bob Dole, and Representative Jim Lightfoot. I've known Monty for the past 7 years and delighted that he was able to join us here today. Welcome, Monty.
Well, actually, I thought I was going to be last, and so that's why I wore the shirt. And then I wasn't sure if I was going to actually end up being last. I'm like, man, I'm wearing the shirt. You better put me last. But, you know, when you're the last of like 10 speakers, everything there that's important to say has usually been said, and if you actually typed out some notes, you just spend the whole time of the rest of the thing on, nope, someone said that, and someone said that. So I stumbled across the shirt that I acquired a few years ago, and usually I just wear the shirt once a year to the state fair because nobody knows. But I was thinking about the week we had last week, and I literally did just happen to find it in the closet yesterday. But I was thinking about the week we had last week and coming here, and I thought, hey, I'm going to wear this shirt. I got to do something to draw attention to myself. So first of all, I do want to thank Lane and the whole board for being members of IRFA. You guys are one of the founding members. We're a state-level trade association. We're not directly affiliated with any of the national groups, but we try to work very cooperatively with ACE and RFA and the others, and get the job done. And with Iowa being number one in ethanol, number one in biodiesel, we have a lot to do on the state level as well as play a role on the national level. So we're doing that, and I appreciate all the hard work that you guys put in to do this. It's fun to be here. You know, I like, we were talking earlier about the projects, and when you wear these hats, you know, we have several members. Some are smaller, some are bigger. And I like all of my members. In fact, I even like the plants that aren't yet members, because they should be. Maybe they will be someday. I'm still holding out for Valero. Maybe once this whole RFS thing goes behind us, maybe they'll see the light. But it is really exciting to see a farmer-owned co-op. It's literally co-op. I love that. I mean, you know, even most of the ones we call farmer-owned or whatever, they're really LLCs and probably have a little bit more diverse investor base. But, you know, literally a farmer-owned co-op is out here getting into the next generation of ethanol production. You know, we have the big guys like DuPont, and that's great. But it's fun to be able to say, hey, it's not just for these large, big companies. It's for anybody who's got a good idea and I guess the determination and we'll know later whether it was the, you know, good idea or bad idea, who knows. I've always been impressed with Quad. I've come up and spoken to your board meetings sometimes, or maybe it's like the retreat thing that you guys have done sometimes, and there's always been something going on in that little building that the speaker stood in front of out there. It wasn't always this project, or maybe the other three I think I can remember led to this project, but you guys have always been looking for what's that next innovation that we can do, and I think that's what's exciting and gets us going forward. So now back to the shirt. You know, last week there was this marathon renewable fuel standard hearing out in Washington, D.C., where it was specifically designed so that there'd be a little representation from our industry and then a whole lot of representation to kick the crap out of us. Okay? Corn is under attack. We have the Environmental Working Group out there saying that corn ethanol is worse for the environment than Canadian tar sands gasoline. I mean, think about how just stupid that is. Okay? There's no other word for it. Corn is under attack. Everything that comes from corn is under attack. And yet I look out and I see a December futures price that starts with a 4. And you guys in this room would know more, but my friends at the corn growers sometimes tell me that if you're renting land, your input costs might be higher than that nowadays. I don't know where that goes. I mean, obviously some of you, those that are multi-generation farms are going to have a little different cost structure and whatnot. But, you know, at the same time, we're getting beat up for high corn prices, you know, supposedly leading all the food and all that sort of stuff. It's not true. We're actually seeing corn prices go down because farmers are doing what you always do, and that's you produce yourselves out of prosperity. Congratulations. You're on the, Mother Nature cooperates a little bit better the rest of the year. You're on the brink of doing it, and that's why ethanol's here. And that's why we need plants like this. We need projects like this. And we need to get the fuels out there. It was very good to have Steve King here. You know, Steve King, the entire Iowa delegation, they're all going to vote the right way. None of you have to worry about that. But I'll tell you what, it's not all about just how they vote. It's how much time are they willing to put into that issue working their colleagues who aren't from districts like this district. It's how many, you know, sometimes you've got a couple of members and you're on different committees and I've got one ask this year where I can really lean on this guy. Am I going to do it on the RFS or am I going to do it on this other issue? So stay engaged with your local officials. Stay engaged with your state officials. We're in a fight. And even though they're with us, they need to hear from you. They need to get, it's like you're down in the trenches in a football game and you're just getting knocked back, but you still have time to win. Do you kind of pick yourself up? Do you motivate yourself? Do you get going? Or do you just kind of mail it in? We need to make sure that our Iowa delegation, and I don't think they will, I want to be very clear on that, but we need to make sure that they are properly motivated, that they're hearing, hey, we know this has been a long fight. The oil industry fought the creation of the RFS in 07, and they've been fighting it every day since then. Our team is a little tired because way back when I played football, we played this little town called Harlan. Yeah, everyone know about Harlan? You know, when you played Harlan, you knew about it. You knew about it that night, and you knew about it the next day, and the next day. You know, about a week later, you started feeling normal again. That's kind of, I think, how our supporters in Washington, D.C. feel. You know, they've been getting the crap kicked out of them every day since this bill passed in late 07. And if they don't hear from you guys that this is important, that we still need it, that we appreciate them taking those lumps and continuing to fight the good fight, it would be very easy to just post that vote. Say, I was with you. It's critical, though, that they don't just post the vote. So I just want to encourage all of you to stand up, fight for corn. If you see something in the newspaper you don't like, write a letter to the editor. We try to do that as much as we can. Big Oil has more money than us. I know that's a shock. They are the most, they're the most profitable industry in the history of industry. And yet they still get, this will be their 100th year of getting taxpayer subsidies. Is there a corn ethanol incentive anymore? No. Are there about a dozen oil industry specific? I'm not just talking about the general business incentives that any company like an oil company can take advantage of. Are there oil industry incentives out there? Yes. And the oldest ones were enacted in 1913. Literally 100 years this year of taxpayer funded subsidies to oil industry. And yet we're the ones that, you know, get attacked for needing government help. So we're not going to out muscle them with money, with ads. But we can out grassroots them. And I would really tell you, whether it's through your plant, whether it's through ACE, whether it's through IRFA, some other group, corn growers, whatever it is, make sure you send an email to your representatives this year. If you didn't get a chance to shake Steve King's hand, send him a little email to his staff that says, hey, saw you at the Quad County event. Thanks for being there. Thanks for continuing to fight. We need more than your vote. We need your voice out there. And I was going to say one other thing, which I forgot, which is good. So I just want to thank you all for being... Oh, I know what it was. Just today, there's a new story on the front page of the Des Moines Register about how oil companies are going to kind of rig the gasoline they send to Iowa. Ironically, it kind of helps ethanol. They're not happy that we're spending it that way because they're doing it to try to make more money off the people out there who don't buy ethanol. And I don't have a lot of sympathy for them. But you know what's funny? So I get up. I was told the story was going to be out today. So I get up and I get my little smartphone, which I'm not very smart about, but I can search the internet on it. And I typed in Des Moines Register gas prices this morning when I woke up to see if the story ran. And it popped up on the phone. And so I'm reading, like, okay, that's pretty good. You know, it's all pretty good except for one guy. They found one guy that really does want to pay 30 cents more not to buy ethanol's gas. So God bless him. But I'm scrolling, and then all of a sudden I noticed they have little ads at the site, you know, on the website. Obviously, these aren't on the paper copy, but on the website, they always have, that's how they pay for these things. They have little web link ads. So this is at like 5:50 a.m. I know most of you farmers are like, hey, slept in that late. But I've been off the farm a long time, so occasionally I do not wake up until after 6. So as I'm scrolling down, this is like 5:50 a.m., and the top link, and it's a sponsored link, meaning it's a paid ad on that story, was what does E15 do to your car? And then it takes you to Smarter Fuel Future, which is a Big Oil website, which is just dedicated to lying about ethanol blends and what they don't do to your car, but that Big Oil wants you to think it will. And I'm like, man, it's not even 6 a.m. I need their budget. But I don't have their budget, but they don't have you. So that's what I'll leave it with. And just thanks for being here and congratulations. And I have had several offers to buy the shirt. We're taking sealed bids until 3 o'clock. So, and the laundry's up to you. So, anyway, thanks again.
Thank you.